My dad was an entrepreneur at heart, and he taught me to never be afraid to fail. And if you failed, you just got back up. And I look at failure as a challenge, not as something to be afraid of. And I think a lot of people are so afraid to fail that it's an inhibitor rather than being a motivator. So I look at fear as a motivator.
Welcome to the Women in Franchising podcast. This podcast is centered around the empowering women in the franchise industry that have worked hard to make their mark in business and are now sharing their inspiring stories with each of you. Let's get started.
Here's your host, Ashley Schutz.
Women in Franchising is sponsored by Massage Heights, a fast-growing massage and facial services franchise. Led by a woman president and CEO, Massage Heights is a firm believer in empowering women to not only live their best and healthiest lives, but to reach their full potential through caring for the mind, body, and spirit. Over the last 15 years, Massage Heights has grown from a single retreat in San Antonio, Texas, to over 140 across North America. Heights is actively recruiting single and multi-unit franchisees to expand in major market areas. Visit MassageHeightsFranchise.com. That's Massage. MassageHeightsFranchise.com to learn more.
Thank you all for listening to the very first episode of the Women in Franchising podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Schutz, and I'm joined today by a very special guest. Some know her as the Queen of Sweet Success. She's an entrepreneur powerhouse, motivational speaker, author of her new biography called The Secret Ingredient, and founder of Gigi's Cupcakes. So please help me in welcoming Gigi Butler. Hi, Gigi. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. What an honor.
Thank you. No, it is our honor. This is a really special episode, not only because it's the first within our series, but because we are kicking off this show with you, such a strong and empowering woman. So we are so excited to have you. And thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
You are so welcome.
I know that you have been traveling a lot and you have a lot on your plate. So I want to start, and we'll get into all of the exciting things that you have going on and coming up and in the works. But I want to start, if you don't mind, taking us back just a little bit. So for those who don't know your incredible story, it includes both tremendous success and also failure. And it starts, as I recall, right around the time that you dropped out of college and moved to Nashville to pursue your singing career. Hearing that just terrifies me. I was a broke college student myself, and so I could only imagine. What encouraged you? How did you work up the courage to take that leap of faith?
Well, my dad was an entrepreneur at heart, and he taught me to never be afraid to fail. And if you failed, you just got back up. And I look at failure as a challenge, not as something to be afraid of. And I think a lot of people are so afraid to fail that it's an inhibitor rather than it being a motivator. So I look at fear as a motivator. So when I was going to, at 19, when I was going to move to Nashville, I thought, you know, I have faith. I know I can do this. And even if I don't succeed, at least I tried.
Sure.
So I packed up, dropped out of college. Don't recommend that to anyone. took my second semester college money, made a music demo, and moved. I had $500 to my name, knew no one, didn't have a job, and didn't have a place to live. That being said, I knew I had to take that leap because I was not going to let fear rule my life. But that's how it started.
That is, it's amazing and terrifying all wrapped into one. But I like your idea of saying that fear was kind of your motivator. I think most people within their life is that's an opportunity. It's an obstacle to stop. It's an excuse, for lack of better words. And
right.
You kind of let that catapult you into the completely opposite way.
Correct. And even someone told me at the book signing last in Dallas the other day, they were like, you know, I'm just so afraid of fear. I'm so afraid to fail. And I'm like, well, you got one life. Just know that if you don't fail, you're not succeeding, because everyone fails. And anyone that's successful, you can look at their life and everyone has fallen flat on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And if they haven't, they've got a golden ticket and something's wrong with them.
Yeah, I know. If only everything came that easy.
Right. I mean, if our, I guess our biggest example would be Abraham Lincoln, right? And we always use him as well. He tried how many times to, and he finally did it. Well, he did. He was, so it's, that's our, I think that's our greatest example, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I love that example.
Because
Yep. And that's kind of seems like what you're doing. I know that when you did that $500 to your name, dropped out of college and moved to Nashville, everything to kind of go along with that didn't just fall into place very easily for you. You didn't hit it big in country music singing right away. Instead, you were kind of led initially on a different path. Tell me about that path.
Well, I wanted to sing since I was 7, and I started singing professionally at 15. I got a band together, and when it got into music lessons, voice lessons. And then when I moved, I had to start all over. So I started, I waited tables and then started cleaning, Gigi's Cleaning Company. I started that business at 15. So I started cleaning houses and then singing at night in Nashville. And so that was what was really my stability. It was my anchor. It always has been since I was 15. So that's what I did to just gain some stability in Nashville and meet some new people and get grounded, get a feel of what was going on. And waiting tables was great too. You can meet so many new people by doing that.
That's awesome. And then you kind of going back to how your dad was an entrepreneur, you kind of took that role yourself and started your own business, I believe cleaning houses, and you were doing that for quite a while. And I know, obviously, I've learned all about you and your story, but tell us for the people listening, you were cleaning houses for how long before you kind of had this moment of realization that you possibly needed to refocus your dream?
Well, I've been cleaning houses since I was 15, and I kept cleaning and singing until I was about 30. And then I decided to quit music because I was cleaning for a teenager at 15 at the time and her family. And as she sat on her bed and I was cleaning her bathroom, she played Teardrops on my guitar. And I knew that I needed to stop singing. So really the cleaning has been my stability. And as Taylor Swift grew into what she was, I was like, nope, I'm 15 years older. This isn't going to happen. So I always cleaned. I just stopped singing at 30.
Okay. And how it has been a dream of yours for so long, and you obviously took such a huge leap. How hard was that for you? Obviously, listening to Taylor Swift of all people, seeing at such a young age, but how hard was that for you to realize that your dream needed to change?
It was so difficult because that's all I focused on since I was 7. That's all I put my identity into was that, because I really didn't want to clean because that wasn't, you know, that was just my job to get me to where I really wanted to be. Mm-hmm. But when it just came crashing down and I knew that I had to stop, I had a full-on identity crisis. I mean, it was devastating. And I spent 2 years wallowing in this. I'm a loser. Why me? What am I going to do with my life? You know, and then I decided to start reinventing myself. So I got my hands on every self-help book, any business book I could, and I started reading about how I could be a better business person, how I could be a better person. And slowly but surely, my why me turned into, well, why not me? I'm just going to be a cleaning lady. Well, then I'm going to be the Wonder Woman of cleaning ladies. I'm going to have the best cleaning business in Nashville. So I started refocusing my identity of, well, you know, that dream died. I licked my wounds. I picked myself up. Maybe there's something else out there for me. So I let that old dream die and I opened up to a new dream.
I love it. I love that kind of you're going into, again, back to fear as a motivator. But while you refocused and rechanneled, you didn't give up. Possibly you put seeing on the back burner, but you refocused your energy and to say, if this is what you're going to do, you're going to be the very best at it. That, again, that I think that just goes to speak volumes of your perseverance and go. Most people would just quit and give up completely at that point. So you really have a great story in terms of turning this, again, the why me into why not me, and identifying through self-help books and everything. It just, I love how you never give up. That is one common theme throughout everything you do. And within this, so you were doing this, it was after about two years, you were the very best that you could be at cleaning houses. But when one door closes, you know, you took the opportunity to open up another one. I believe it was a call you received from a family member that helped push you to the new dream that you were going to focus on. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I was cleaning a client's bathroom at the time. I guess everything seems to happen in bathrooms. Every epiphany happens. But I was cleaning a client's bathroom, and my brother Steve called me from New York City. And he's like, you know, you should open a cupcake shop in Nashville. I stood in line for this place for 2 hours, and I'm eating a red velvet cupcake in Central Park. Yours are better than theirs. And I was like, what? And then it reminded me of another love, because I've always loved to bake. And it reminded me of an old antique writing that I found in an antique store that I've put in my bedroom, and I've had it in every house, every apartment. I've lived with it since I was a teenager. And it's a quote by George Bernard Shaw. And it's the quote that I live by is, life isn't about finding yourself. Life is about creating yourself. So I'm like, why can't I just recreate? Why not? Why not me? Why not a cupcake shop? So that was my motivator, because I'm not about finding myself. I'm about, let's recreate, let's reinvent. So that's how it happened.
That is awesome. And how, I know that it wasn't an easy end, just as with anything, kind of an overnight success. And there was a lot of hard work and everything that got you to where you are today. Has your brother, I want to ask, because it seems like saying that Steve called you and that was kind of a click, is you had baking was another one of your passions and you had been doing it. It was within your family. And has he continued, has your brother or anyone else within your family continue to be an inspiration throughout you living out your dream?
Well, I mean, my parents helped, you know, they really became an integral part of the company. I hired my younger brother, Randall, when I first started franchising, to be the COO. My mom came and helped me with the cupcake flavors. My dad would help me build out the stores. So it's always been a family, you know, love, because we always love to create and we always love to bake. And my Aunt Benny, she's helped me so much. So yes, it's always been a family thing, and they continue to pour into my life. Does that explain that? It just, yes, family helps. They always help.
Where does your passion for baking come from?
Well, my great-great-grandmother had her first bakery called Bill's Bakery in Oklahoma in the turn of the century. So everyone in our family bakes. I mean, my aunts, my great-aunts, my grandmother, my mother, my everyone, my cousins. That's just a way that we were raised. I mean, I was taught at 5 years old, like, get on a stool. Come on, let's make lemon pie. Let's make bread. Let's make cinnamon rolls. And so it was just an innate ability for me, because that's how I'm raised. But I didn't know I would be doing it as a living. That's the thing. When you have other talents, a lot of people think, oh, I only have one talent. And you're like, well, do you only have one talent? Because maybe something that you learned in your past or at college or when you were with a kid, maybe that's really what you're supposed to do. So I had no idea, but look at here, 100 million cupcakes later, something magic might have happened.
I would say so. Absolutely. So yeah, just as you had said, I love it. Let's go with it. The fast forward for today. Oh, you had said over 100 million cupcakes sold. You have,
correct,
I believe, over 100 cupcake stores in 25 states.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Again, one of the most inspiring and recurring themes of your story is hard work, right? You never give up, regardless of how many times you're told no. When everyone or everything might feel like they're telling you otherwise, you continued.
Right.
And it's just amazing. So was there a moment or was there a time where you kind of took a breath and looked around you and said, I made it. Look what I did.
No.
Because you're still continuing on.
I'm just always focused on what can we do better? What can we improve? I'm a fixer and always thinking about
how can we improve? How can I improve myself? What can we do? How can we become better? But I really do need to sit back and smell the roses a little bit more. And I started doing that when I had my child, and I'm a single mom. So, and she's 7. So, and she's been through this cupcake business with me. So a couple years ago, I'm like, you know what? I need to sit back, take a breath. I want to write this book. I want to be a full-time mom, and I want to just live in the moment. And I have a hard time doing that, so I have to really focus on just being in that moment and being present. So that's really my main focus right now, is just being present, just loving life right now. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm getting kicked in the teeth, there's a lot of times I just continue to just get back up, but I'm trying to really love the moment right now.
And I love that. And I it's interesting that it's a child generally, right? It's the innocence and just right. This whole different perspective and filter on life that gets us to do that. One of the right. things that I've seen you write about is this idea of balance, which a lot of us, and especially me, struggle with. I know personally, I'm right. a mom of 2 little kids. I'm a marketing executive, a wife, a sister, sometimes a friend, because I don't have much time for everything. But is right. that how you think you find balance? Is really just taking a step back and being appreciative for what you have?
Yes, it's very important. I also keep a calendar, a written calendar, like an old, everyone's like, put it in your phone. I'm like, no, I want to see. I want to see what chunks of time I have to where I can write it down. I can be creative. I have time to create. I have time to read my Bible. I have time to exercise. I have time for my child. And it is a balance, but I think we can do it all or have it all. We just really need to make our priorities the first and foremost. Family. And if you don't, I think priorities get, you've brought a child in the world. Well, if you're going to birth a child, well, then you know what? That's really a big responsibility. Sure. I've birthed a company and it's a great responsibility too, but she's my first priority. She's my first thing that I have to think of is how can I love her well? Mm-hmm. And how can I leave a legacy of love? That's what I really want to do. It's not about money. It's about leaving a legacy of love.
That might be my favorite quote. I absolutely love that. Yeah. Yes. One of the things, again, as a mom that I loved is looking onto your social media page and your Instagram, when you list your credentials, mom is first. You have mommy, the next entrepreneur, along with all of the million things that you do great. But going back to your prioritizing, and that's clearly your priority. And so they're very true words that you seem to live out in every way. So that is amazing and incredibly inspirational.
Thank you. Well, I prayed for a child for so long and I just begged God, please let me help. Please, God. And did I do it the most conventional way? No, I didn't. But I treasure her because I only have one. I'm only going to have one. And I don't want to miss it with her. And I'm so busy, I still miss things, and I'm not the perfect mom, and I miss ways of loving her, and I struggle to learn her love language. But when I've prayed something for so hard and God finally gave it to me, I want to make sure that I do it well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I missed the mark, but I really do try.
As we all, and again, I think that going back to you, you never stop trying and you give it all that you have. And it seems like that's what you're doing it in all ways. So, truly inspirational. I love it. I know that you have many different things and what started as, you know, a dream and a refocus of a dream. You built into over 100 stores, over 100 million cupcakes sold, but it wasn't something that just happened. Shortly after you opened, I know that you had received people coming in and inquiries of, I want to open Gigi's here and Gigi's here. And from what I learned is you kind of had a hard time, again, kind of like it was your child. This is your baby. You birthed this business. And it was hard to let go at first, but eventually the idea of franchising came about. So what interested you or intrigued you within the franchising model to apply it to Gigi's Cupcakes?
Well, I took out $100,000 cash advances on my credit card.
So no one would give me a loan. I didn't have any capital. And when I opened my doors February 21st, 2008, I had $33 left to my name. So that being said, my only option, because I didn't have a lot of corporate money to build corporate stores, my landlord came to me and he's like, man, you should franchise this concept. I'm like, what's a franchise? So I started reading, and it just made sense for me to franchise because I didn't have a lot of capital. So I grew organically with each franchisee that would come on board, and we would take the franchise money and I'd get the boxes, or we'd do the website, or we'd do... So we grew like a grassroots, and that was really the only option we had because I didn't have $250 million to build, you know, 50 corporate stores across the country. So that's, it just came as a necessity for me.
And then it seems like with that, going on to now almost 11 years, not next year or next month will be 11 years in business for Gigi's Cupcakes, which is a huge right. accomplishment. It seems like it's really been able to help you live out your dream and also inspire others, you know, in the entrepreneurial mindset to open up their own franchise and bring happiness and share love through cupcakes and all across the world or all across the country, at least.
Right. Well, when we say, you know, spreading love one cupcake at a time, I don't mean that in a trite way, because every cupcake is baked with love because it's my passion and it's my love. And I created each little baby and they're my babies. Those stores are still my babies. My face is on it. My name is on it. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, they're franchises, but it's more than that. It's something that I've birthed. It was my first baby and mm-hmm. it always will be. And it's sure. going through, you know, some tough times. But you know what? The future for Gigi's is so bright and so excellent. And I can't wait to see what happens around the next corner.
Absolutely. And I know that it was founded in 2008 and you sold it a few years ago, but you remain a franchisee of the original store in Nashville, which you still work.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because I did a little digging. I have a friend who used to work with you in your corporate office. And again, everything that I've heard about you is just so positive and so full of love and just inspiration. But she had told me or mentioned, and let me know, correct me if I'm wrong, that you still travel at least to the majority, if not every grand opening location.
I do. I did up until December, and then hopefully I will be. But yes, I have gone to every grand opening except two stores.
That is amazing. It's amazing.
I used to go, and I would say to my partner and my brother, and I'd say, I'm going to every opening. I am going to be at every opening, pounding out cupcakes in the back of that kitchen. I'm doing it. And they're like, no, you won't. I said, no, I will. Well, one year we opened. In one day, we opened three stores, so I couldn't be at all three. Mm-hmm. And then, so now the grand openings, I really try to mindfully be at every grand opening because I love it. I love to meet the people. I love to meet the passion behind who's in those stores, and they love the brand, and I want to be the ambassador for that brand.
And a great one you are. That is amazing. The opportunities that you've created through all of your hard work seem to just continue to come, again, with constant hard work and perseverance. And I know that one of the things recently, one of your projects is you're now the face of Serenade Cabinetry, which from a little bit of digging seems like it's a beautiful, functional, I believe, American-made cabinetry company. So tell me a little bit about that and the alignment there with your personal brand that you've built within the baking industry.
Right. Well, it's just fantastic. The CEO started following me on Instagram last year, and he's like, you know, you should, he reached out and said, you should be the face of our cabinet company. And I'm like, you know what? I should be.
Yes, ma'am.
I've cleaned more cabinets and more surfaces than any human being on the planet. So it's a really authentic, it's not like some supermodel getting on a slab of, you know, tile or something or a counter and being like, yes, welcome to this. No, have they ever cleaned one? Have they ever designed a kitchen? So I've designed hundreds of kitchens being in the Gigi's brand. You know, my dad and I designed the first 65 stores, and then I've built two houses and designed the kitchens with that. And so it's come naturally to me, and I've cleaned
more cabinets than any person. So when he came to me, I'm like, yes. And it's such a classy brand. It's called Serenade Cabinetry. It's the premier cabinet company in the country. And they are fantastic. They're all American made. They're eco-friendly. They have 11% more cabinet space, storage space in the cabinet. So it's just fantastic. It's classy, it's functional, and it just screams, take me, put me in your house. Mm-hmm. I have to have you.
You do, you're right. And looking through your videos and their pieces, functional and gorgeous. They're beautiful, but it's more gorgeous. Functional than anything. It's not just, you know, to your point, it's not a supermodel and of a kitchen that just looks beautiful but can't function. It really gets down to it. And you probably more than anyone know how it should function. And so the collaboration just makes complete sense there. I was excited to see that.
Right. It's like, if you would think of it as a car, it would be to me, it would be like, it's very classy and upscale, but super cool, classy, sporty, awesome. It fits in any kitchen. So it'd be like the Range Rover of the Range Rover of cabinets, or like the Tahoe, you know, the cool Tahoe of cabinets. So it's an Escalade of cabinets. So it's that. It's just super cool, functional. You want to drive it around. It's not too ostentatious, but it fits with everything. So, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. It is gorgeous. Again, the Serenade Cabinetry, I love it. In addition to that, though, because you don't sit still and it seems like you are always consistently doing more than more, you also recently released your first ever book titled The Secret Ingredient, Recipes for Success in Business and Life, which is kind of your autobiography. So what does it mean to you, or how does it make you feel to have built this platform to inspire and encourage others just by sharing your own personal success story?
Well, it's been a wonderful honor, and I've loved writing it. But the good thing about this book is so many people, what we've talked about before, can't recover from failure and don't know how to, you know, get up, brush themselves off, and move forward. And this book is a testament on how to do that. It gives you the motivation on, well, if she can do it, I can do it. So that's what this book is for, and that's why I wanted to get it out into the world. I want to be like, don't be afraid. Just keep going, just keep moving, just find a different path. So that's what this book is about. Also, it has a savory or sweet recipe at the end of every chapter that kind of follows my life. And so they're family recipes that I absolutely love, and they are legit recipes. You will love them. I worked very hard on these recipes.
That is so exciting. And I know that you were recently in Dallas doing a book signing. Do you have any more book signings coming up or any more tours for the book?
Not as of now. I will be in Vegas February at the big KBiz building show. And for February 18th to the 21st. And I'll be signing books there and handing out cupcakes. But I don't have a book signing scheduled just as of now.
How can we, for those who want to continue to read about your story and get the sweet and savory recipes that you've worked so hard on, how can we go out and get your book?
Well, it's anywhere books are sold. Amazon's easy. I mean, you just click and it ships right to you the next day. You could go on my website, ggbutler.com, and each one that comes through that website, I personally sign. And I can make it out personally to that person as well, and we ship it out. So you can just get it anywhere, but if you wanted to personally signed one over my website, and my Instagram handles are official Gigi Butler, Facebook is official Gigi Butler, or ggbutler.com.
Perfect. So I have to ask, going back to your initial dream, do you ever sing? Have you completely given up on your dream to sing, or do you still sing?
Well, I love Christmas music. I have a Christmas song on iTunes called Silver Bells, and I still sing at church, and I still sing for my daughter. So I sing all the time. I just don't sing professionally in bars anymore. But I should have a gig. You know, I should do like this big Serenade Cabinetry, cupcake, something, you know, I could get the band back together. We could do a huge show. We could do it for St. Jude or something, you know, a charity that I love, that I'm all about. I might think about that. You put a good seed in my head.
Yes,
I need to do something.
Well, I will be the first to it. So you let me know. That would be so exciting to hear.
That would be fun.
Well, my last question for you, because I appreciate so much of your time, and I know that you're so busy, is you have so many things going on, but what's next for you? Do you have any more exciting things in the work? Are you focusing obviously on Gigi's Cupcakes, but then also Serenade Cabinetry, or what can we look forward to you in the near future?
Well, I have a textile line that came out that you could order on ggbutler.com and different stores across the country. And I really would love to do a TV show, somewhat of a baking show, cooking show. That's something that I'm open to and kind of working on. And nothing is inked, so I can't say. But I'd also like to be the face of another couple brands. I love Serenade. I love Gigi's. I'd like to be the face of one more brand. And I just want to leave a legacy of love and do good. And I want people to be proud of me. That's what I want people to respect me and be proud of me. That's really in my future. And that's really all I care about.
And
I want to have a happy life.
I think that you are already doing all of those things, and you have earned so much respect and admiration. You are showing your daughter just the best example that you possibly can. And one of your quotes is, you said, "I put it out into the universe." And so by your textile line, the cabinetry, a TV show, possibly baking show, you're putting it out into the universe. And I have no doubt you will put in the hard work to get there. So I personally, as I know we all are, very excited to see what's in store for you. So thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. It was so great talking to you, and thank you for kind of helping us hear more about you, learn more about you, and really just get inspired from your story.
Well, I appreciate it, and have a wonderful day, and thank you for having me on.
And thank you, Gigi. We'll speak to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.